stay-at-home dad with four children who have to get to all their activities and all their lessons. They need to be transported to these things, and they need to be supported. I volunteer with search and rescue. I substitute in the school district, and I can't say no when anybody asks me for anything. How am I going to fit this deacon thing in? It's kind of funny, as I thought in retrospect, that I can't say no to people, but I could say no to God. So I put off doing anything, and the more I put it off, the more uncomfortable I began to feel. It was not until I talked to Pastor Hollis and told her of my call that I began to do what God was asking me, that I began to sense an overwhelming peace and comfort. Our readings today contain a lot of crazy talk. In Genesis, Joseph is revealing himself to his brothers that sold him into captivity and who lied to their father that Joseph had been killed by a wild beast. Joseph is forgiving them and telling them that their hatred and jealousy fit into God's plan to save them and many nations from famine and that he loves them. Craziness. And then in Romans, Paul is telling us that God will never reject his people, including us. God's gifts and his call to us are irrevocable. He will always be merciful. Again, craziness that God could love us so much that he is always willing to forgive us. And then we come to the Gospel of Matthew. And this is where things get really crazy and strange. Jesus and his disciples are leaving Israel on a well-deserved trip, a well-deserved getaway to Tyre and Sidon. They have been hounded by the religious leaders, who Matthew, early on in the book of Matthew, called a brood of vipers. The Pharisees have been dogging them on all sorts of issues, eating with sinners, forgiving sins, fasting, breaking the Sabbath laws, breaking Jewish tradition. And as they are traveling, they meet a persistent Canaanite woman from a region considered wicked and godless, who calls out to the group with an expression of faith, calling Jesus Son of David. And what does Jesus do? He ignores her. But she is persistent, and the disciples are so annoyed that they want permission to send her away. Send her away. She keeps shouting at us, they say. Finally, Jesus turns to her and says, I was only sent to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Is this the same Jesus that in previous chapters healed people hand over fist without hesitation or comment? Is this the same Jesus that was concerned about the well-being of the masses that followed him, that he fed 5,000? This is strange, but the Canaanite woman still persists. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So what can we glean from all this strangeness, this crazy exchange between Jesus and a woman on the periphery? Is there a lesson for this, for us, and for me? For me, it is the reinforcement of the teaching Jesus gave that unlocks the power of the kingdom to all who use it. It is the power in asking. The power in asking. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus did not say that it was just for the chosen people who ask, or just the Episcopalians, or those whose birthdays are in August. No, he said whoever asks, the poor, the rich, the sick, the needy, the marginalized, everyone. Everyone who asks of God receives good things. But asking is hard. Not only asking God, but asking others. We have trouble asking for help, asking for respect, asking for healing, asking for pledges, asking for forgiveness, asking for equity, maybe even asking for a raise. Maybe it's hard asking because we don't want to bother others or we don't want to bother God. Maybe we feel unworthy to ask. Maybe we don't want to be disappointed by people saying no, or that our prayers not coming out in just the way we wanted them to. I know I have felt many of these things. My problems are so small compared to other people's problems, I think. My father died too young from cancer. Did I not pray hard enough? Did I not have enough faith? We can just beat ourselves up and begin to think twice about asking. But this story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman offers us such hope that God does hear us when we ask. He is never too busy. He is never too unconcerned to answer our prayers. I cannot answer the question of why bad things happen to good people or why it seems our prayers go unanswered, but I have to believe that God is in everything. He is always present. God, I believe, never wants us to suffer. Rather, as Paul says in Romans, that God works for the good of those who love him. This is clearly shown in God offering up his son to be crucified on the cross. The cross offers supreme testimony that evil happens, and yet it is not strong enough to defeat God's love. That God is committed to staying with us even through the most difficult of circumstances, and that God can and will work through, but does not wish or will, even the worst of situations. As I considered the action of asking, I realized there was a flip side. I believe that we as a Christian community also have the responsibility of asking others if they need help. I like to think of it as intercessory prayer in action. There are so many around us that need help, and we must be a people, a church community that goes forth to help those who are in need, helping those who have been dealt circumstances that have left them impoverished or imprisoned or sick or just on the fringes of society. Christ is in all of us. If we were to see this more clearly, we would not hesitate to connect, to care, and ask of those people we so often overlook. I like to ask the question that our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, uses in his book entitled Crazy Christians to help guide my actions. Why not a world where no child will ever go to bed hungry again? Why not a world in which poverty is truly history, a thing of the past? Why not a world in which every person is treated and valued as a child of God? Why not a world where we lay down our swords and shields to study war no more? Why not a world reconciled to our God and to each other as children of God and brothers and sisters to one another? Why not a world that looks less like a nightmare of our human devising and more like the dream of God's creating? We must continue to ask these questions with the persistence of the Canaanite woman. We as a church can make a difference in this crazy world if we are listening to hear those crying out for help and are actively asking questions to understand the needs, concerns, and hopes of the community and the world. Jesus is asking us. Actually, he is telling us in Matthew 28:19-20. To go, therefore, and make disciples, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his face, to be his voice in the world. Amen.
Please stand as our service continues on page 96 of the prayer book with our profession of faith as expressed in the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
The prayers of the people are Form 2 and can be found on page 385. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our bishop, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church.
In the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Diocese of Rochester, the Right Reverend Prince Singh, Bishop. In the diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for Grace Church, Buena Vista, St. Andrews, Fort Upton, St. Francis of Assisi, South Fork, St. John Chrysostom, Golden. For our parish, we ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the field, as the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Almighty God, to whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what accords with your will and those good things which we dare not or in our blindness cannot ask. Grant, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our worship continues on page 360 of your prayer book with our general confession.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbor, and our planet. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you.
Mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Amen.